Welcome to Center Stage Minnesota, our program showcasing the talents of Minnesota musicians. We've got a lot coming up today on this holiday special. We'll hear from Jennifer Penix talking about the beautiful sound of a handbell choir. It's like one instrument being played by multiple people. Also, we'll hear a feature on the Twin Cities Gay Men's Chorus, the fourth largest gay men's chorus in the country. And we have a Christmas gift from Minnesota metalheads My Misfire, plus some Christmas jazz and other holiday tunes. I'm Doug McRosty. Theme music is by Matt Hoskins. If there is an artist you would like to hear featured on Center Stage Minnesota, please let me know. Email comments at kaxe.org. And you can get more information and links to all the music you hear. Go to kaxe.org, click on Center Stage Minnesota. There's blogs and links to my Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter accounts. From Paul Metza's album Lincoln's Bedroom, came out back in 1998, here's Christmas at Molly's on Center Stage Minnesota.
December is a stranger. I walk like I just lost the keys to this city. As a sailor, I've sent postcards round the world, but the picture tonight wasn't pretty. I walked in the shadows of haunted hotels like a miner trapped in a cavern. Well, I looked to the east and a star had shone down, and it led me right to Molly's Tavern. So I followed the footprints made in the snow by Salvation Army musicians. I got in line and I stood right behind a tap dancer and two blind magicians. You would have thought I had been there before as Molly stood there to greet me. 80 years old with a gleam in her eye, said you're expected and proceeded to seat me. Come all ye low-down arounders, lift up your low-down ways. Pass the malt and the mistletoe, it's almost Christmas Day. I walked around and the harp player asked if I would like to request a selection. I smiled and I asked for God Bless the Child, and for him I took up a collection. I spotted a man with a white beard and red, from a distance looked just like Kris Kringle. As he went to the roof, oh, I thought I heard hoofs, and I swear I heard sleigh bells a jingle. We waltzed on a dance floor made out of glass. Between dances we sang Christmas carols. Then we lit candles, had a moment of silence. The bartender read F. Scott Fitzgerald. Molly said, first we must give to receive. We put our trinkets into a kitty. In went my compass and my grandfather's watch, and I pulled out the key to the city. Come all ye low-down arounders, lift up your low-down ways. Pass the malt and the mistletoe, it's almost Christmas Day. And so I guess if there's a lesson I've learned, it is one that will keep me from danger. Sometimes you get lost just so you will be found and return the kindness to strangers. I explained how I felt as I kissed Molly's hand like a miner freed from a cavern. Merry Christmas, baby, is what she said to me, but it's like this each night in my tavern. So I sail on the oceans and stare at the sky, and it seems like the whole world's on fire. And I just wanna make angel wings in the snow and sing this song in that midnight choir. Come all ye low down.
lift up your low-down ways. Past the malt and the mistletoe, it's almost Christmas Day. It's almost Christmas Day. It's almost Christmas Day. It's almost Christmas
thank you.
The Mr. Pumpkinhead Quartet with some Christmas jazz music. And that is Tim Wick of Big Walter Smith and the Groove Merchants on piano, Don Vidal on saxophone, Sam Miltich on guitar, and Pat Downing on bass. Before that, we heard from Paul Metza with Christmas at Molly's. Still to come, we'll hear a feature on the Twin Cities Gay Men's Choir, and we have a Christmas gift from Minnesota Metalhead's My My Misfire. Jennifer Penix has been around handbells since she was a youngster. The bells even rang at her wedding ceremony. Now she's in the bell choir at Community Presbyterian Church in Grand Rapids. She tells us about the history of the bells and what they mean to her.
Yeah, it's hard to describe. You think of the church tower bells, and in England, people that played the tower bells by pulling the ropes in a synchronized pattern. But in the winter, it got too cold for them to do their practicing up there. So then they took handbells and went into the local pub to practice, and that's actually how it got started. But if you think of those tower bells, just think of smaller, higher pitched version of that.
I was really young the first time I heard a handbell choir. I was at Hope Presbyterian Church near my hometown of Spicer, Minnesota, and I remember a line of women wearing white gloves holding shiny brass bells that were set on blue cushions on a long table. Sometimes they were doing one bell, sometimes both. Other times, they just stood and waited their turn, watching either their music or their director very carefully. When I was in fifth grade, I got the chance to play bells with a group of other kids my age. I had never played a musical instrument before that. I sort of knew what notes were what, thanks to my elementary school music classes, but I had never actually read music before. It was something really fun to try. I kept with it for a few years, off and on, depending on the amount of ringers the church had. I don't know exactly when I stopped playing bells, but it must have been sometime in high school. I think it was a combination of not enough ringers to keep a choir going, and me being busy with other things, like the school band. When I got married at Hope Presbyterian, there were a few high school girls that had been ringing bells, and my mom had the idea to include them in my wedding. Also, by that time, I had moved to Grand Rapids. I hadn't been attending church regularly, but I felt something was missing. Somehow I learned that Community Presbyterian Church in Grand Rapids had handbell choirs. My interest was piqued. I started attending the church and watched from the congregation. I saw it again. The line of bell ringers. The gloves, black this time instead of white. The cushion table, maroon here instead of blue. The precision of each ringer was there. I soon met their director, Darcy Rich.
Well, we have three choirs right now. The Holy Tollers are grades 4, 5, and 6. The Tintinnabulators are grades 7 to 12, and then the Jubilee Ringers are the adults.
Yeah. And then you girls, if you're on top, you come. eighth notes at the beginning of measure five. One and two, and a three, and four, and one. And Kathy, I don't worry too much about damping between those two. I think it'll make the rhythm a little easier. Let's take it right at measure five. One, two, and three, four.
I've been here since the fall of 1976. I came one Sunday and was dragged downstairs for coffee by a good friend, Jean Antonovich, and met the minister and his wife and met the choir director. And Wednesday night I was in choir, and a year later I was directing the choirs and on staff. So I've been on staff now for 33 years.
Mary Erickson, Janet Anderson, and Maren Gallis are members of the Jubilee Ringers, and they have great things to say about D'Arcy.
If you get a feedback from the members of the church, that is one of the highlights, because we have such a great director.
You're a dedicated director, so it makes us all that much more dedicated to playing. But I think it actually can set the tone, too. I mean, if we play a meditative piece or it's all Christmas music or whatever, I think it really helps set the tone of church, too. It just kind of adds a different dimension.
I think also in our bell choirs, when we've gone to other places to ring, people have noticed us, or people have seen us maybe on ICTV for the church service, and then they say, have I seen you before? Do you play bells?
Yes.
So it's almost like a outreach, too, that we've done with the bell choir.
Dave Martin grew up at Community Presbyterian Church, and while he doesn't remember a lot about D'Arcy from his youth, he's had the opportunity to work with her now.
And I remember when they were telling me to talk to D'Arcy about some music, and even Janice and some of the other people, they were wondering what it was going to be like to have me and D'Arcy together, because we are such polar opposites in some ways, but we're both... It's because we want everything to be perfect. And we just approach it from a different way. So it's great working with her. She's actually pushed me to improve myself in a few ways, and that's been great for me. And hopefully I've helped her in some way. I don't know. But yeah, I love working with her. She is very knowledgeable. And the work she's done with the bell choirs, I would like to see that continue and keep growing too.
One thing I think it's unique about bells is that you're not playing one instrument. There's so many people playing essentially one instrument, and you're responsible for just
a part of
these few bells that are in front of you, a few notes. And so you really have to work as, I suppose, like a team. To make this music, because you're relating to what your neighbors are doing, plus you're trying to hear what's happening way down on the cliff and way on up, and to make it all come together. Mm-hmm. So that's very unique, I think, for handbells. I don't know of many other instruments that would be able to do that.
I didn't know too many people at Community Presbyterian Church when I started ringing bells there, but from my first practice, I felt very welcome, and I felt that I belonged. Music has always been an important part of church to me, and it was evident that it mattered a lot to this church as well.
It can touch someone's soul maybe in a different way than the spoken word can. We certainly don't want to take away from the scriptures and the sermons, because that's important too. But sometimes music can impact somebody or touch them. Just this summer I heard somebody refer to bell music as the one kind of music where you actually, as you lift the bells, you're lifting your voice to God, which is sort of a cool concept to think of as you're ringing, that you're actually lifting the music up to God.
Well, I like playing bells. Mm-hmm. I like music, and I think it's a contribution to our church, and it's a fun thing to get together with these women that, or other women and men too, I suppose, that are part of the choir.
I It's still a challenge, too. I mean, you know, each piece is different. You can change a lot of positions around, and it's a challenge. So you're not only enjoying music, but it's a personal challenge, too, to be able to do well. And like Martin said, it's an outreach. I mean, I think people really, really like it. So it's nice to be able to contribute that way.
One thing I really like, the regular time we meet together and the rehearsals, but then I also like the performing of it. You know, there's a whole different atmosphere when you're rehearsing versus when you're actually performing. It's a little intimidating being up in front, but it's a good thing to share, I think.
It is. Very satisfying.
Ringing handbells has been a great experience for me. I'm glad I've had the opportunity to ring again in recent years. I couldn't imagine not being part of this group.
Big thanks to KAXE producer Jennifer Penix for that piece on handbells. Here's Eliza Blue with Bethlehem from her 2007 release Screen Doors and Back Doors on Center Stage Minnesota. Thank you. The Mr. Pumpkinhead Quartet with some Christmas jazz, and that is Tim Wick on keyboards, Donnie Vidal on saxophone, Pat Downing on bass, and Sam Miltich on guitar. Before that, we heard Eliza Blue with Bethlehem from her album Screen Doors and Back Doors. This is Center Stage Minnesota, showcasing the talents of Minnesota musicians. The Twin Cities Gay Men's Chorus has grown to be the fourth largest gay men's chorus in the country and is a member of GALA, Gay and Lesbian Association of Choruses. As an organization, they celebrate diversity and use music as a way to transform, educate, and heal.
The Twin Cities Gay Men's Chorus is one of the top gay men's choruses in the country. Now under the direction of Dr. Stan Hill, it celebrates its 30th anniversary.
Started in 1981, a bunch of guys got together and wanted to sing. One of the most important things about a gay men's chorus is it was felt right from the beginning that it would give the men of the chorus an opportunity to express themselves that they were not having in other forms of performance or expression. I like to use the phrase, if we don't tell our story, who will? So right from the beginning, one of the most important things we found out that there wasn't a lot of TTBB music, tenor, baritone, bass. And so we started commissioning our own music. That's one of the great legacies of the Gay Men's Chorus is that we have now, after 30 years, compiled an incredible collection of music that tells our story from our perspective, music that we have commissioned. The whole idea of men's singing is you can use that with different kinds of accompaniments, such as what we're doing for Christmas with the bell choir, or if we have a guest, generally I bring in a soprano, because the soprano and the men's chorus really have a nice timbre, a nice texture. And of course, this year we're celebrating the 20th anniversary of our accompanist, Timothy Dupre, and he is a great accompanist and one of the most beloved people in the whole organization. His contribution to the musicality of the organization is absolutely amazing.
I love the piano. I love the piano. I love to hear somebody play upon the piano.
The Twin Cities Gay Men's Chorus is not only known for its beautiful singing and gorgeous harmonies, but also for its contributions to and interactions with community organizations. Marketing and Development Manager Christopher Tykelo talks about the community involvement.
The chorus has had the opportunity to partner with a lot of organizations over its history. For example, when we performed Through a Glass Darkly, which was a new commission of ours in 2008, we partnered with a number of agencies that helped people with issues of addiction, organizations like Hazelden, Pride Institute. And then we've also reached out into the community, and we really try and pick a partner for each one of our productions and try and do something for that organization. So, for example, we've held serial drives for Open Arms of Minnesota the last few years. We've encouraged our audiences to bring items for holiday baskets for the Aliveness Project. We've also worked with Avenues for Homeless Youth over the last couple of years, encouraging our audience members to bring toiletries and personal care items for the youth. So we've had a lot of opportunities to partner with a lot of really wonderful, great organizations in this community.
The 30th anniversary celebration will span three concerts. Our December concert, which we combine with the Bells of the Lakes Bell Choir under the direction of Bill Mathis. So what we've done is we've commissioned him to do holiday music with bell choir accompaniment. Plus, we'll have our friend Lola Watson as a guest star. Our spring concert is going to be called Ole Ole Ole, where we collaborate and partner with the larger Twin Cities Latino community, and we'll be having a whole exploration of Latino music, which is some of the most wonderful music ever written. Our Pride concert is going to be called Let's Hear It for the Boys, and it's an exploration of boy bands and groups that are made up of guys, and it's just going to be a fun presentation. So we've got an exciting 30th anniversary concert season planned.
I think that one of the amazing things about the Twin Cities Gay Men's Chorus is the fact that this is a group that has broad appeal. I'm sure that there are moments when someone says, well, the Gay Men's Chorus, well, what's in that for me? Why do I want to go see one of their performances? And I think that what we do touches people in such a universal way. While we may be telling the stories of the GLBT community, anyone can find something in what we're singing about and say, oh, I can relate to that.
That feature on the Twin Cities Gay Men's Chorus was produced by our sister Ampers station, KFAI, in the Twin Cities, made possible with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Still to come, Bob Dylan has some Christmas cheer, and Minnesota Metalhead's My My Misfire are offering up a Christmas gift that really doesn't have anything to do with Christmas. Carissa Corbel is a jazz and opera vocalist and derby girl from Bemidji, and she recorded some holiday songs for us and gave me the CD. And here is Silver and Gold from Carissa Corbel on Center Stage Minnesota.
Oh,
Christmas Jazz with the Mr. Pumpkinhead Quartet, recorded live at KAXE last year. Guitar virtuoso Sam Miltich, also Don Vidal on sax, Tim Wick on keyboard, and Fat Pat Downing on bass. My My Misfire are an unruly, loud, and full-on attitude metal band out of the Twin Cities. They play all over the state. They decided to give all of their fans a special Christmas gift by making a new song from their forthcoming CD available on Christmas Eve. We're going to hear it now. Here's My My Misfire with Scene of the Crime, their gift to you on Center Stage Minnesota. My My Misfire with Scene of the Crime, made available for download on Christmas Eve. Brand new My My Misfire. Don't forget to say thanks. This is Center Stage Minnesota, our program showcasing the talents of Minnesota musicians, a local production of 91.7 KAXE, independent community radio in northern Minnesota. Also heard on WTIP in Grand Marais and KSRQ in Thief River Falls. We've had some Christmas jazz, we've had some Christmas metal, we've had handbells. How about some Christmas polka? We'll go out today with Bob Dylan's Christmas CD. I'm Doug McRosty. As always, rock on.
Who's got a beard that's long and white?
Santa's got a beard that's long and white.
Who comes round on special night?
Santa comes round on special night.
Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Who wears boots and suit of red?
Santa wears boots and suit of red.
Who wears a long cap on his head?
Santa wears a long cap on his head.
Cap on his head, suit of red. Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa, must be Santa.
Santa's got a big red cherry nose.
Who laughs this way? Ho, ho, ho.
Santa laughs this way. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Cherry nose. Cap on head. Suit that's red. Special night. Here that's right.
Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Santa Claus.
Santa very soon will come our way.
Eight little reindeers pull a sleigh.
Santa's little reindeer pull a sleigh.
Reindeer sleigh, come our way. Ho, ho, ho. Cherry nose, cap on head. Susan's red, special night. Here that's right. Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Santa Claus.
Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Carter, Reagan, Bush, and Clinton.
Reindeer's day, come my way. Ho, 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 cherry nose, cap on head. Suit that's red, special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.